So I get a call last week, which is a pretty frequent type of call I get, is someone's looking for a lawyer, and they tell me, sounds like it's some yeshivish guy, and he tells me he's looking for a lawyer, he wants to sue, and he names a company. I'll call it Google, just to make it, not to give any specifics, but it was a large company, like a Google, you know, a Fortune 500 company, and he says he wants to sue them. Okay? A lot of people want to sue Google and those type of companies as well. So I say to him, well, why exactly do you want to sue them? He tells me they're very unfair. They're making him pay for a service he's not using in his business. It's costing him a couple of $1,000s a month. He's not using the service. So my next question was, did you sign a contract with them for this service? Say, sure, he signed something. But he doesn't know, he doesn't understand, it's not fair, he's not using this service, he wants to sue them. So I said, well, if you have a contract that says that you signed on to this service for X date, I said, most likely you're stuck. We could look at the contract. I said, did a lawyer negotiate the contract for you? So he said, no, of course not. Okay, that's why he's calling me now to clean up his mess. But, so I said, well, look, if you want, I could take a look at the contract. And he's like, well, don't you have a lawsuit? He's like, we can make a big public stink about it against this company and we'll make millions of dollars. And like, you know, we could get a group of people. So I said, well, look, you could do that. It likely will cost you the lawsuit, maybe $100,000, $200,000. If you're willing to put it down on an unlikely lawsuit that you'll win such a lawsuit, then I said, call a vote. You know, I'm in, you know, but so I said, he's like, well, you can't find a lawyer to do this for free. I said, well, you could, but I'm the wrong person to do that for you. I said, maybe there's a lawyer who wants to go sue a Google type company for free on the outside chance that you'll win, that this contract is unfair, that you're paying for a service that you signed on for. So anyway, we ended the conversation pretty quickly, and that was the end of that, which means that we really need to revisit last week's shiur a little bit. Okay. Now, what is the connection? What does this anything have to do with mezuzah? So last week, we're not going to rehash the whole chabura, but I want to focus on one little specific point, which I, in a little bit intentionally, glossed over last week, because I could give another chabura this week on the topic, but it really needs to be honed in on. We really need to hone in on one point, which we didn't really elaborate on. So you're leaving your house. You sell you're going to buy a new house. So you're the seller, and your new house is a very frum individual. They're retiring, they're moving to a one-bedroom apartment, they don't need so many mezuzahs, so they're very frum. The house that you're purchasing, they leave all their mezuzahs. Great. Now, you have $1,000 worth of mezuzahs in your house that you're selling. What are you going to do with them? So we spoke last week, the halacha was, you leave them in your house. Great. You're going to have new mezuzahs in your new house. You're leaving your old mezuzahs in the old house. Everything is great. But you're a businessman. Those $1,000, you don't want to leave on the table like that. Can you charge the purchaser of your old house, the guy you're selling your house to, for those mezuzahs? We talked about it a little bit last week. But now let's talk about from the lawyer angle over here. Yes or no?
What would the haba mean to be why you could not?
Why you could not? Because if the halacha is that I got to leave the mezuzahs there, so who said I could charge him for it? If I have to, I don't charge him extra for leaving the wall in the living room, right? He paid a price for the house. The house is the house. I don't say, oh, you want me to leave you the wall in the living room? So now you got to pay extra to, we agreed upon $1.5 million. Now you got to pay $1.5 and $5,000. Yeah? Because I never included the wall in the living room.
Is it in the contract?
So this is our question. Is it in the contract? Are you negotiating it? I don't know. When I negotiated my house, mezuzahs were not the first topic of conversation.
No, but there are people who will say, you know, if you want the pool table and you want the couch and you want the dining room table, it will be this. Like the,
excellent.
When the price is negotiated, it's talked about.
So usually, my experience, I've only done this once or twice. Usually those pool table discussions are not when the initial deal is sealed. Meaning usually you sign a contract for the $1.5 million Kew Gardens type prices. Yeah? You sign your contract for that. And then afterwards, over the next few months, when you're negotiating towards the closing, the guy's like, well, I was going to take my pool table or my couch, but I'm happy to leave it for you, but you got to pay an extra $1,000. Or the chandelier, but now you got to pay for it. So those are post-contract discussions, right?
Sometimes, or it might be something like, it's, you know, I want $1 million for the house. I'll give you $950,000 for the house. I want $980,000. You know what? I'll give you the $980,000. If you keep, you know, the blank and the blank.
Excellent. And the blank and the blank. So that's going to be an easy-ish case. Because if you talk it out from the outset and everyone agrees, then you're fine. But what about when you just sell the house for $1.5 or $1 million and you don't think anything about anything?
No.
And now you come to this closing. Are mezuzahs included or not? You come to the moving date. You're moving, let's say, a week before the closing, whatever it is. And you know, wait, should I leave my mezuzahs? And I'm happy to leave them because I'm getting new mezuzahs in my new house. But hey, I'll get $1,000 for it. I don't give up $1,000. Hopefully you don't give up $1,000. If you're willing to give up $1,000, I'll take it. Yeah? Don't give up $1,000 so easily. It's $1,000 or $700. A lot of mezuzahs.
Are we talking halachically or are you talking about...
So this is where halach is, where the rabbi lawyer merges over here. Because this is a little bit of halachic and legal. It's a little bit, how should you legally craft it so that you're halachically okay? What does halacha say about this?
There are many mishnayas that tell you when you purchase whatever it is, that what you're purchasing.
The fourth parak of Bava Basra talks about Bava all Basra, all about things, but it doesn't say mezuzah over there, I don't think.
Mezuzah,
which is why we have a chabura, yeah?
The chachamim tell you, like Henry just said,
yeah.
Then if that's part of the house, then it's part of the
so
house.
So you paskin. I've got my clear case. I'm not taking my mezuzahs, definitely not, because I've got new mezuzahs in the new house. Everything is good. I'm the seller of the house. We signed the contract for $1.5 million. We're going to have a closing in 3 months from now. During those 3 months, what do I tell the seller? The purchaser, sorry. What do I tell the purchaser? You need to pay $1,000 for the mezuzahs? You need to pay? You should pay? You could pay? Please pay? Which one?
Yes, you wrote.
Oh, ask your Rav. Your Rav is going to tell you, come to this chabura. Well, what says the Shita Mikubetzes, the buyer, the purchaser, should pay. I don't know if that's obligated, but he says I forget the exact question, he says you should pay. Comes along the Ritva. Sorry, my phone a lot for today because I pulled up a couple of my Makomos. The Ritva has the Lashon like this. The Ritva's language is downloading. There we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. The Ritva writes, he says, Umiyu, but Efsher. What does Efsher mean? It's possible. Shechayev balabayis lefroa damel. If you leave your mezuzahs, you're the seller, it's possible that the purchaser should have to pay for those mezuzahs. That gets you possible, and a token gets you on the subway. No, it doesn't. Well, possible. It's whatever. Token, a metro card, an Omni. Yeah, but what does Efsher mean? What does Efsher mean? Yeah. Okay.
If you don't specify anything, then how can you ever take them with him to begin with?
It's not. Oh, so Yaakov's saying a good point. If the halacha is that it belongs to the buyer, why are we having this whole discussion to begin with? Which is maybe why the Ritva says Efsher. Maybe the buyer should pay. Well, all we did last week, and I'll remind you the halacha, in case you weren't here last week, the halacha was the Gemara said, you have to leave your mezuzahs, because it was dangerous to leave a house without mezuzahs. But it doesn't say anything about cost. I have to leave the mezuzahs if a house doesn't blow up from the mazikin. But who says that the purchaser doesn't need to pay for it? So Shita Mikubetz says he must pay for it. Ritva says maybe he needs to pay for it. Says,
but the
yeah.
If you don't pay for it.
Yeah.
So the seller says, I want you to pay for it. But he says, no, you have to leave him. I'm not paying.
This is exactly our kabura.
There's the recourse.
This is exactly what I'm trying to figure out. The Ritva would tell you there's absolutely no recourse because maybe you should pay for it. This Ritva, the Shita Mikubetzes, which said you should pay for it. So I don't know. Can you take him to Beis Din and sue him for $1,000 and says, look, I wanted... I was had to leave the mezuzahs, but you had to pay for it. Says the Rabbeinu Manoach, cited in the Beis Yosef. Ready for this? He says, on the words that you're now to take it with you, you the seller now to take the mezuzahs, v'yatza, she'im harishon makbid al dameha. This already gets a little bit iffier. We read this a little bit last week, but now I want to hone in on this. If the seller cares about his money, I don't know, I care about my money, you care about your money? You, anyone who doesn't care about your money, I'll take it, yeah? But I'm assuming we all care about our money. I'm assuming that mezuzahs, $1,000 worth of mezuzahs is already a significant cost to anyone, yeah? Makbid al dameha, tov l'shalmam lo. What does that mean? It's good. It's nice to make him pay. Or you should pay him. Yeah? Avoin motzin. You're not allowed to take it. So now we have you really should pay. The buyer from the buyer's perspective, you should pay. That's option number one. Option number two, maybe you should pay. Option number three, if the seller cares, then it's good. It's proper, maybe is a better word. It's proper for the purchaser to pay for the mezuzahs. Yeah, you're with me? I hope you are thoroughly confused as much as I am, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to give a good answer. I'll give you a good answer in it. But says Shulchan Aruch. So now you open up a Shulchan Aruch, and now we go, we read this one liner last week, but now it will make much more sense, I think, in context. Says the Ramah, listen to this. He says, "V'im makpid al ma'osel." If you care about your money, so what does it sound like? It sounds like that Rabbeinu Manoach cited in the Beis Yosef I just read to you. His next word should be what? If you care about your money, what should it be?
Tov,
right? His next word is "V'im makpid al ma'osel." If you care about your money, Hasheni, the second guy, should be tov, right? It's good for him to pay. Hasheni, what does he say? Tzarich l'shalimo. What does tzarich mean?
Must.
Must means that I could sue it. Yeah? Must means that if the seller refuses to pay. So let's talk out my case again. I'm moving to a little apartment in the Regency over here. Yeah? I have my house, my nice big Kew Garden Hills house is 15 mezuzahs. I don't need to take any of the 15 mezuzahs. I'm going to the house. They're leaving me the little of the 3 mezuzahs I need in my new house. I'm fine. I'm leaving a house of 15 mezuzahs like the halacha says you should. I'm a big, good, great Jew, right? I'm the man. The purchaser says, okay, that's so nice of you that you're following the halacha, you're keeping the mezuzahs. I say to him, okay, buddy, but you got to pay $1,000 for the mezuzahs. Says Shulchan Aruch, tzarich l'shalimo. He's got to pay for it. You're with me so far? Sounds like, according to Shulchan Aruch, I can not only demand it, I can take him to court. I could sue him. It would be stupid to do it because the court costs may be more expensive than that, but that's a separate discussion. I could take him to the local rabbi. We're both members of the Young Israel of Kiron Hills. We both go to Rabbi Rosenfeld. Rabbi Rosenfeld pulls out a Shulchan Aruch and says, look, I'm sorry, purchaser, but Tzarich l'shalimo. If he's a good yid, he listens to the rabbi and he pays out $1,000. No, is it so simple or not? There is a problem. Shulchan Aruch changed the language of Rabbeinu Manoach. Why did he do that? All Rabbeinu Manoach said was that it was good to do it. Says Ramosha Feinstein, it's exactly what I told you. The Ramah switches the language to highlight to you that you need to pay. But, that is only when, hold on to that for this one, that is only when it was discussed at the outset. What it means is im makbid al ma'oseha. If you care about your money, that means, I don't know again like what stage of the game it is, but let's assume it could be even post-contract. But before closing, you went over to this purchaser and said, look, just so you know, I'm moving out next Tuesday. I'm leaving you my mezuzahs, but you should know that's going to be $1,000. In such a case, you could demand payment from the purchaser because you told him beforehand. If after you move out and he moves in and then a week later you come back and you realize, oh, I forgot to take my mezuzahs. Unclear. Says the Chai Levi, no. You can't make a diak that tsarich means that you're obligated to pay. You know what tsarich means? Huh?
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe tsarich l'shalem is even if the guy refuses to pay, the homeowner is required.
Oh, that would be too big of a chiddush.
Well, doesn't like
Shalom,
couldn't it be the...
Oh, I hear you. No, but it says Asheni. It says the purchaser. So I think what it means, and this is what the Chai Levi says, it just means he's trying to make a stronger language than the Rabbeinu Menoach. But it doesn't mean that you could sue him in court and demand those $1,000. We don't reach that level that you have a claim against the guy. Comes along the little Pischei Tshuva, which is a one-liner, and listen to this. He says, "Umehai time." He says, "Pashsak Shivas Tzion." The Sefer Shivas Tzion, 200-300 years ago, writes, maybe 400 years ago, maybe. "B'misha Mochar Beso." Someone sells his house. "V'lo Kosav Imkol Masha Besocho." He forgets to write in the contract that it includes everything inside. This is your Mishnayos and Baba Basra, yeah? V'rotza mocher litol mezuzas akvurim b'yisedos pischei chadarim. And now the seller maybe wants to take his mezuzas, which are attached based on hooks or like by a nail, yeah? V'kosov da'adin imalokeach. Since it was not written into the contract, the law is with the purchaser. Wow. That what, he says, and he goes on, I'm skipping a line to get to the point, he says, the only time that the seller has a power is if he's able to take the item with him. This is what Yaakov said. But the mezuzahs, guess what, seller? You're a loser to begin with. You have to leave those mezuzahs. Mash'enkin b'mezuzahs, de'enu rashayelito, you can't take him. De'enu elitvias domim. The only claim that the seller has is he could say, I'll tell the purchaser, you got to pay me. But guess what? You know what you write into that? You write that into the contract, you dope. And if the seller didn't write it into the contract, he can't come over to the purchaser a week later and say, oh, we signed the contract for $1.5 million. I really meant $1.5 plus the $1,000 for the mezuzahs. Says the Shiva Seal, no way. He says, V'afilu lotzeis yidei shamayim, even if the purchaser wants to be very frum and he doesn't want to go up to 120 owing people money, he should have hired a lawyer. Seller should have gotten a good lawyer to negotiate the upfront. Look, I got to leave the mezuzahs here. The halacha is you're supposed to pay me. You don't do it. Why? You can't come claiming afterwards that now that you're allowed to keep the mezuzahs. No way. And then you have to pay me for the mezuzahs. No way. Comes along with Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, Zatzal, and he says, no, that's not true. He says, mezuzahs are never part of the sale. They're not part of a sale. Why are they only kept in the old house? They're only kept in the old house so that the house doesn't blow up or that the mazikin don't attack the house. But because of that, they come with you. You don't have to write in your contract that I'm taking my dining room table, correct? You don't have to write that I'm taking my clothes in my bedroom. You don't have to write that I'm taking any of my kitchen pots. It's obvious. I mean, the contracts happen to say it nowadays. It's because lawyers are crazy. But I don't want to bill for that. But you don't need to, halachically, I don't need to write in my contract, oh, I'm selling your house, but I get to take all the movable objects inside. Mezuzah is no different. Of course the seller is allowed to take his mezuzahs. Why can't he take it? There's a separate halacha which tells you if you take the mezuzahs, the house is going to be dangerous. So you got to leave my mezuzahs there for a separate reason. But practically speaking, I could have taken it. So now if I'm leaving it, it didn't have to be written into the contract, says the Shevet Alevi. I could demand from this purchaser that he's got to pay for it even afterwards. Says Rav Sternbach, No, I'm going to defend the Shivas Tzion, that you can't demand that the purchaser pay for it. You know, if you didn't write into the contract. You know why? Kew Gardens is the biggest proof to this whole Chabura. Because we pay $1.5 million or $1.5 for a teeny attached, the 18-foot house, whatever. And you know what that means? That's such a sick price. Let me read to you his Lashon. He's talking about Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is just as sick also, some of the prices. Listen to this language. He says, he says, because the prices are so exorbitant, it must have meant, even if it wasn't discussed, that here, find his exact language. He says it must have been that the price included the mezuzahs. I'll see if I can find you his exact line. He says, here. He says, well, Maisa. He says, let me tell you practically what's happened. He says, I'll give you a reason why the purchaser doesn't need to pay for him unless you wrote it in the contract. He says, Omitamacher, totally different reason. Shebizmanenu, nowadays, Shemechir Adiruchu Skum Otsum. It's a sick, unbelievable, ridiculous prices that you pay for a dira, a little apartment in Eretz Yisrael. It's not even Q Gardner's house. It's about a three-room bedroom in Eretz Yisrael goes for, what, $1.5 million for a little thing in Yerushalayim, a teeny, teeny thing. So what he says, Mekubuhu, it's obvious and accepted. Deicha shamoker mistama. If you sell it and you don't write it in the contract, veino mafarish mechira dira eino kolos the mezuzahs. Unless you write that the deal is excluding the mezuzahs, it's obvious that the mezuzahs are included in the price. Mistama demilsa kol kolu b'mechira dira. It's obvious that the mezuzahs are included in the price. That completely changes the entire chabura. According to Vitruvius van Agus, if you are a seller and you don't hire a good lawyer who writes into your contract that I want you to pay for those mezuzahs, you cannot go afterwards and turn to the purchaser and tell the purchaser, oh, I need $1,000 more for the mezuzahs. Oh, yeah? The purchaser should say, what do you mean? I'm paying you $1.5 million. That doesn't include the mezuzahs also? And you, the seller, say, no, I didn't mean to include that. And so what does the purchaser say? Oh, yeah? Well, then I would file a malpractice lawsuit against your lawyer. Your lawyer should have negotiated that issue with me. Your lawyer said nothing about it. He talked about the pool table. He talked about, you know, the chandelier. But he didn't mention anything about the mezuzahs. So guess what? I, the purchaser, get to keep the mezuzahs, and you cannot charge me a dollar.
So according to that, would it only be, let's say, like an area like Kew Gardens Hills.
Any place nowadays, Shalom, any place.
Even Houston, Texas. A 12-bedroom mansion.
Any. That's still sick. Amount of money that we're paying, it's still sick.
What about the intrinsic value of the mezuzah has personally to the
Okay,
owner?
So says Mr. Jakubowicz, the last point. 1 second. The only other issue we have to discuss left is that you got your nice, I think I wrote it down, I have to shave it away, I think I can read your Russian, but I'll just tell it to you. He says like this. What about, I am a very frum yid, I'm a seller, yeah? I got the top quality mezuzahs. Top quality. I paid $100, $200 per mezuzah. My mezuzahs are worth $3,000, not $1,000, okay? If you add it up, normally it would have been $1,000, I spent $3,000. Now I had a bad lawyer. No negotiations. It's now coming to the closing. The purchaser says, "Okay, I'm sure you're leaving me your mezuzahs." And I say, "Yeah, sure, that's fine." But Shulchan Aruch says you got to pay for it. $3,000. Yeah, okay. Or even if they discuss it at the outset. Yeah, and he says, "Okay, I want you to pay $3,000." Does the purchaser need to pay all $3,000? Says the Shevet Alevi. Oh, sorry, let me make it a better case. It wasn't discussed at all. Purchaser says, I file this truvus in August. I don't need to pay you anything. I get to keep the mezuzahs, nothing. You say to him, that's fine. You could keep the mezuzahs a normal value of $1,000.
No, what about sentimental value?
Okay, so sentimental may be included in that. Sentiment always gets a little bit murky. You have to come to Ashkam Minyan on Shabbos. We're talking about a whole series about damages. We're going to get into maybe sentimental. Sentimental damages is often not very legal concept. You can't claim subjective. Yeah, you can't claim. Yeah, if you damage my car and I say my car is my favorite, my best friend in the whole world, my car is worth $5 million when it's a $50,000 car, you can't say that just because a guy loves a Lamborghini and he kisses his Lamborghini doesn't mean that you're allowed to pay for it, $5 million for it. And damages are very objective, most cases. There are some subjective cases where it may get a value.
Yeah. In that sort of case, because if it's a sentimental value mezuzah,
yeah.
he doesn't have to leave that mezuzah.
Fine. So this gets into my final question. So here's the case. It's a $3,000 mezuzah. I have to keep it. He can't pay, says the Tshuva son August, because I didn't bring it up and it was included in the price. Can I demand anything? The post can say I could demand $2,000 from him in that case. In other words, I only need to leave him. What's included in the sale is I got to leave him regular mezuzahs, normal, kosher, legit mezuzahs. If I had A++++, Aleph++, top grade mezuzahs, you want me to leave those mezuzahs, buddy? You got to pay for it. Those are chashuv and mezuzahs. In that case, even the Chus on August, Rav Shevet Alevi, they all say, Rabbi Yashav ruled that there the buyer must pay the difference. I think even if it wasn't discussed.
So let's say the buyer doesn't want to. Can the buyer say, go take your $3,000 mezuzahs?
My time is up. I'll tell you the last sentence on that. The last sentence on that is what you should do in that case. Make a deal with the buyer that you're not going to take the mezuzahs down. You're not going to take the mezuzahs with you. He's not going to pay you. You'll leave it for the first week. A week into his new ownership, then he should take down the mezuzahs to get him checked or something like that. And then you could switch the mezuzahs and then you'll swap it. So you have to make a side hand, a rider in your deal over here to make sure that you're fine. The upshot of this is that you really should, if you start from where we started, hire a lawyer. I mean, this is not a personal plug. I don't do real estate transactions. There are people in my firm that do, but more commercial deals. But it is a good idea in general. And I mean, this is a 1-minute advertisement. It is a good idea in general to hire a lawyer up front so you don't have to deal with me later on and cost $100,000. You want to sue some company. There is some benefit in hiring some for $2,000, $4,000 up front to save long-term costs down the road. There is some benefit. This is a perfect example, mezuzah, where you see that. If you wouldn't negotiate up front, you wouldn't have dealt with all these problems.